This is No Direction's PaizoCon 2018 seminar coverage. PaizoCon 2018 seminar coverage was made possible thanks to the support of the Roll for Combat podcast, as well as the dedication of our team of volunteers. Due to possibly questionable language, this panel is rated Sorry, Ryan.
Sorry, Ryan.
Sorry, Ryan.
Okay, so this is the Art of Starfinder panel. I'm Rob McCrary. I'm the creative director for Starfinder. Here we have our artist guest of honor.
I'm Taylor Fisher. I'm a freelance artist that I've been working with Paizo for about 6 years now. So, yeah.
Who are you?
Oh, and I'm Sarah Robinson. I'm one of the creative directors for Paizo.
So, what are we going to look at today?
Well, today we're going to do some early concepts that Taylor and I worked on along with the Starfinder developer team, and just some of the ideas that she came up with for most of what we have in Starfinder right now. So the first ones are going to be some ideas for Absalom Station, which we did. I think the idea for Absalom Station was, I think, the first from Iomide's sword.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, from her symbol.
So Taylor came up with some design, like zoom in. All right. So she came up with some designs following that idea, and I think we kind of decided on I think this one here. Kind of that. So she first started out doing like shapes and stuff like that. So, and I think we kind of decided on the final, just the shape here. And then, so then here's the other one. And I think the idea was to having these different, I guess, spokes be different areas of like maybe like neighborhoods or species of people live on that
station,
right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Am I correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was like something really specific. It was that when we were like drawing things out, we wanted to make sure that like each of them even like looked a little bit different. So at a distance, you might want to like land in one place, but then travel to another. So yeah.
Yeah, and then the middle here is going to be like the high society area, because they got the tall, rich-looking buildings, and then this book would be like just like a journey. So then we went to the color version, and that was an early concept of Absalom Station right there. And so then we kind of decided that down below is where like maybe the slums are. Mm-hmm. I know our world. What kind of the slums are, and then like I said, the middle here would be the where the rich people live.
Corporate offices and stuff, yeah.
Government and stuff like that. And so yeah, that was like, I think we showed this off last year maybe. Or maybe the year, a couple years before.
Maybe, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The timeline's all the gap. We've all forgotten. But this was really cool to get concept art, because I've worked on Pathfinder for a number of years, but we have a lot of those art references are already in place, mm-hmm. and everything. And so doing a new game and getting to do concept art for a lot of the stuff was a lot of fun for like the whole team to look at all the different stuff and talk with Sarah about what we like the most.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that one in particular, Absalom over a planet. Was this concepted at a point where you hadn't really decided that it was on its own, it was isolated, or?
I think we pretty much knew from the beginning that we weren't going to have, that Galarian wasn't going to be part of the setting, because we did want to separate, keep them separate, both to keep Pathfinder separate from Starfinder. So, yeah, I think it's...
Yeah, that was like, I think early on, because I was thinking about all kinds of little stuff, because we didn't know like how detailed we were going to go into for the concepts like originally. So like, there's little stuff, like I was always thinking about like each of the like kind of fingers that sticks out from it. has like these details where it's like, oh, maybe this is where everyone like parks their spacecraft, and there's it's like this like surface inside that you can do that kind of stuff. And then like, you know, so like some of the interior gardens, like what are they gardening, or like do they import everything? And like I came onto Starfinder, I think, right after I had like worked on like XCOM, so I was like thinking about like aliens and space stuff too. So I was like, oh, like what other kind of like, yeah, like how close are they? Do they go? So I wasn't sure if how close they were, like the planets and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to see some ideas of how it would be.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point of reference too. Mm-hmm. Helps with perspective.
Yep. And then so that's optimization. So then we probably should go into some of the races. So these are some early ideas for the Sheeran. And who came up with Sheeran?
Who came up with it? Yeah. I don't. Maybe Sutter. I don't know. It's at the beginning. We were throwing so many ideas back and forth that it's hard to keep track of who did what.
These guys were like so much fun. These are probably my favorites to like concept, because originally we were like, we want the antenna to be expressive, and that was like kind of the word used. And I immediately went to antenna mustaches that were like gesticulating as they converse. So I always imagine them as like. Like surprisingly the most emotive of the races, when people see like, they're like, oh, bug people, I bet they're like cold and stoic and robotic. And I'm like, no, what if they're very emotional? They write poetry and stuff. So I was like going crazy about this.
Yeah, but I don't think too much direction was given to you. Mm-hmm. You're like, yeah, this is the bug race. Ugh.
Make some bug stuff. Yeah. And I was like, okay. Yeah.
And then I think, we do a final one on this?
I think we did. We went with C. We liked those kind of like tiny hands that they have going on.
Oh yeah, the meeting arms.
Yeah. But like, yeah, it was like the meeting arms. But then I was also thinking like maybe if they do try to like hide their personality, the other arms are like fidgeting and stuff. Like, yeah.
Until you know they
like
someone, they just looked at because the.
Yeah. 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 That thing with your weird meeting arms.
So then here's some early, very early Android.
Which one?
Android.
Oh, Android. Okay.
So I think the idea was we're trying to get like the skeleton of the Android first, because they're do they have human skin over there? Or is
they're
just all robotic?
No, we were kind of going back and forth on what we wanted. We were kind of looking, I mean, now I think it's kind of that it is mostly human, but the circuitry kind of shows up when they do stuff, when they activate certain things. But I know we had talked about like the Ex Machina style, where it was kind of like translucent and stuff. And if we decided that would be too hard to do regularly for art. But
I mean, they're just basically supposed to be human robots, right?
Right.
So, and I think actually what we went for was, I think we did this one first.
Yeah.
And then Taylor kind of like put the outfit and the personality hair skin over it. Yeah. And then we did, added these plugs in the back of the neck. Mm-hmm. I don't think we have those anymore.
No.
Yeah. So I think that was the very first idea.
This one had like a lot of ideas, surprisingly, and like art-wise too, because like when I think about androids, and I think we had also mentioned that like not all of the androids have people who like control them, and some of them are sentient and some of them aren't. And so there was this like, I thought it would be like kind of interesting to think about like, what if you played an android that like, I don't know, worked on like a race spaceship track and you like escape somehow, and like what if they had like these like jumpsuits that instead of skin, so it was like kind of weirdly hung on the body, or like they were covered in logos, and like you have like a really cool kind of like weird escapee robot that does other stuff now. And these were like, yeah, we did a lot of iteration on this one.
More facial visual ideas. I like basically all of these.
Yeah, that's so something we were kind of like, eh, these are options later on if people want them, but like.
The androids had originally been created for Pathfinder and had a look for Pathfinder, and so there was also, then for Starfinder, was a question of like, well, how much do we want to keep it like that, or how much have androids evolved or changed into the future and everything? So it's like, what aspects do we want to hold on to, and what do we want to make kind of new?
And then we go to I think this is the one that we showed off when we announced. And I said it's awesome. It's just very colorful. Basically what I want Starfinder to be, because Pathfinder needs a like fantasy, like very dull colors, but I want Starfinder to be very bright, like happy colors and stuff. So I still like her.
Well, I think we made it so that androids could be, since they are artificial people, it's like they can look a lots of different ways because they can kind of customize themselves to a lot. And so that lets us do a variety of things with the art, I think.
And again, this didn't really have a lot of direction. Again, this is a lizard reptile race. Go!
Make a muscular lizard. And I was like, okay. Like, sign me up. This is awesome. Yeah, this was fun because I think the only feedback on this one was like, more muscular, bigger, bigger lizard. And I was like, oh my god, these lizards are going to be huge. So, and like, yeah, there was definitely like, I looked at like, Godzilla versus like iguana people and like stuff like that. It was like a lot of fun.
Bigger!
I like these ones a lot too because like in the end they kind of like came out to be like more what I always imagined like a lizard or a reptilian race would be as well, because they're like particularly like ambiguous because they're just large lizard people. Like, and like I know like Elder Scrolls has like their lizard people and they tend to like not they tend to like fall more into like a human culture, and I really like that the Vesk are like they're really really into like their own setup. Yeah.
I've seen so many people playing them too. They're really into them.
Vesk are awesome.
In general, and they like playing the opposite sex, and they really like interested in them. They feel more open to be like, I'm a girl Vesk, and I like blood and hot sweaty lizard.
I'm not saying that's my first Starfinder character, so. Yeah, he just got progressively larger. And I was like, I don't. Do you want, like. Well, because I also thought, too, like, he might have, like, a skinny, like, lizard guy. And like, maybe he's, like, that's the young one. And then you're like, oh my god, they're so buff.
Yeah. And then he's just, like. Like, I think D.
I think you still said make it bigger. I was like, okay, we can do this.
Then we went into faces. Oops. Just like the expression on that. Mm-hmm. The eyes, like the side mouth, just like.
Mm-hmm.
Like.
Yeah.
But I think they lost their. Do they still have a little beard?
No, they're not quite that pronounced. It's more like just little spikes coming out of the chins.
I just love how intense they were.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those look great.
I have reptiles as pets, and I always love that. Like, they have like built-in angry eyebrows, and they can't change it, so they like always look grumpy. So I feel like they would have this like very fake laugh that's like ha 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 to like let you know that they're like okay at the moment because they always look upset.
I think these are just different spike and fin ideas from back, which they don't really much have anymore.
Like it makes space suits very difficult.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we show them always wearing armor too, so it's hard to tell what pins and spikes they have under there.
Yeah.
This is the most negative thing these characters.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think they are always in armor, and it's like never really the body scale patterns, like because they're always decked out.
Then we go to the guys.
The Ahsoka?
Yes.
The
one?
Ahsoka.
Oh, yeah. That was nice too.
Rat.
Yeah, we were like, are they rats or mice? And like, were they like curious or scummy? And like, what do they like want? Yeah. Like, what was the kind of personality? And then there was a very long discussion about whether or not they wear shoes. Yeah, I was like, I don't know. And then we, like, I remember long moments staring at the ceiling, being like, do rat people wear shoes?
I think maybe this is the one.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Because I distinctly remember also then drawing rat people, like, undergarments on them, being like, how polite are they? I don't know. Like, is it a taboo? Who knows?
Is it the same kind of discussion being like, well, if rat people don't wear shoes, do lizard people wear shoes?
I was kind of like in the same vein, but I think we ended up deciding that they would for outer space. And so when I went to the Vesk, I was like, well, they probably wear shoes too.
Yeah, this would be a different kind of armed for them. Like the black and white and then, like, you know, scary, beady red eyes.
Mm-hmm. I was like the lab rat Yosoki idea. Like. Yeah.
That's like pretty different from what I see now.
Yeah, the like, kind of iconic one is like very like scrappy, like very jumpy and scrappy. Yeah.
That's also another thing, because the Ahsoka originally came in Pathfinder 2, and so, or they were just rat folk in Pathfinder, and then it became the Ahsoka, so we also had to look back toward what we had done before, because it couldn't be completely different, or we didn't want it to be, I guess.
So, next, we just stuck with the
rat. Well, the Iconic's covered in so much gear and stuff, so.
Yeah. This was a fun one, because I looked up dog goggles a lot during this, because I was like, how do I put goggles on this rat person? And I have a dog, so I was like holding her face, like, tell me your secret. These are fun. I really haven't looked at these in a while.
Yeah, I haven't looked for a while either. Oh, yeah,
I should make art or something.
Some of these I haven't seen, because my predecessor was creative director back then, so.
Still more.
Yeah.
Different color variations. Still very bright, blue, colorful. Mm-hmm. Not like that.
How old are these, like, 3 years ago?
What, Star Wars 2 years now?
So about 3 years, I would think, yeah. Yeah.
I love all the patches from the Starfinder arc. Like, I think my favorite's the little band-aid on the dot ones.
Yeah.
Very, very practical.
Yeah. Yeah, this was like a lot of fun.
I like that he's like disco goggles on.
Yeah. I really liked where they had like leather combined with like some of the metal too, that like, yeah, because when it got like more and more scrappy, because even like the body type, even though it's like we saw the under layer like body that the Yosoki had, it definitely like changed to feel like more grungy and more dirty and like maybe even more like lithe or like muscular, so which was like cool.
Let's see. That's what I have for really concept with those three races, because mm-hmm. I think we had everything else established. We had the Kusatha established, right, from the humans, of course.
Yeah, and Lashuntas, and yeah.
Yeah, so Taylor did the, I guess, most alien ones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I mean, those are the early ones. And then, so, do you have any questions for Taylor or anything like that? Or?
Great. You used a lot of, were you doing a lot of base material research, like sci-fi research, or were you mm-hmm. kind of trying to steer clear a lot of that stuff so that you could be kind of uninfluenced?
Yeah. I'm in the camp that it's good to take in a lot of reference, because I think you build a better visual library just in general. And I think too, it's hard to step into the shoes of another character or something without going and seeking that experience and like whatever they do. So I think if you don't put yourself somehow immersed in either like the art or the culture or like that state of being, like you're never really gonna hit quite like to home as like you would probably, like it won't be as true, I think, to like living. Like, while making that character, living the life of this person. Because, like, there's certain things, like, do rat people wear shoes? It sounds, like, very silly, but I mean, like, what are they actually capable of doing themselves? Like, how do they manipulate stuff? Or, like, what are their concerns? Like, would it be uncomfortable to, like, cram your tail into a spacesuit? Like, would they come up with something else? Or, like, what's, you know, like, that whole idea. So
yeah, that was another long discussion. Like, what happens
with it? Is there like a weird bag over it? Yeah, like, just a Ziploc bag sure. with some duct tape. Yeah. So I usually gather like a lot of reference. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And out of that reference, did you find anything that was kind of way out of bounds as you were looking at it? Like things that were not traditional sci-fi reference or things like that that you drew upon, or?
Go to a pet store and actually hold rats.
I do love rats. I think they're great. So, but it makes me like the reptile thing a little tough. But nothing that I found was like out of bounds. I did try to avoid some tropes, which is like why I think some of the Yosoki concepts were like a little more elegant. Like at the beginning, I was like maybe rat people, like because they're very dexterous. Like rats themselves are like dexterous and very intelligent, but they have these like. Kind of like sadly very short lives. So I was like, what if they like make the most of it? And like, oh my gosh, are they the humans now? Like to the trope human of like the shortest lifespan. And like, maybe they're like more inventive and less stuff because of that. Like, they have a little less time. I think that was mainly, it was like to avoid some right. tropes and stuff like that. Yeah.
Some of the ones that the rat folk kind of remind me of like The Secret of Nim.
I love that movie, and I force all of my friends to watch it. Yeah, I think I might have watched The Secret of Nim around then, too. I watch the movie at least once a year, yeah. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. How much of what you got was just, like, a sheet of paper with, like, these are the key words we want to try to incorporate in this? How much of it was, like, here's what we kind of want from mm-hmm. these, like, art clippings?
I don't think you ever really send me a whole lot of art.
No, I gave you some keywords. Mm-hmm. So what I did was I grabbed some ideas on my own of what, you know, mm-hmm. Rob and the Star Party team was thinking. And then so I would go and grab some materials and then put some like one page to keywords on there and mm-hmm. that was it. Because I didn't want to be like too restrictive for mm-hmm. you know, to create something. So yeah, I think it was just like one page and
yeah, mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah, and like a one page kind of like block of stuff. I think Absalom had the most reference, yeah. But that's because like it was a little more of like a complex idea that I think had already, it sounded like it had been fleshed out a little bit more on the Starfinder team side. So when I got a hold of it, it was mostly like, all right, we had this very strong idea and we're skinning it now. And so there's like a lot of already established stuff. But, like, with concept art in general, yeah, it's, like, because that's the iterative process. Is you just, like, start, and then, like, you just keep going. And you're, like, maybe this is a terrible idea, but who knows until I look at it. Yes, that's a terrible idea. Keep going. Like, because you expect to have some, like, weird or not great ideas, and then, like, a lot of stuff that you want to, like, combine and smash. So, yeah.
Yeah.
About how long did it take to go from here are some sketches of standing rat dudes to this picture here?
This painting took, I think, 8.5 hours.
Well, I mean, like, overall,
like the process?
The whole
about a week.
Concept art process.
About a week, yeah. Is usually when, usually about the timeline for stuff, week and a half, depending on, like, how much. I think, like, for stuff that went, like, really, really iterative, it was, like, a little bit longer.
Yeah,
a week and hours.
Yeah, we didn't have a long time to start writing her up, so it was like, hurry!
Yeah, do the stuff! I was like, oh!
Did we get to leave that book in a year?
Holy moly, I didn't even realize that was that quick. Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun.
Oh, yeah.
Well, this part is fun. Like, you know,
it's true, yeah.
It's fun, but I'm sure Ron can tell you some more horror stories.
Well, from the book perspective, do you guys find that when you get concept art like this, does it influence, like storylines or things like that that you guys are playing? Like, did seeing the art for Absalom change some of your concepting around that, or?
It kind of depends on when it hits in the process, like because we don't normally get concept art for most of the regular stuff. So in this, there was a lot of a back and forth, and you know, we could look at Vesk faces and be like, oh, that one's the best, and then talk with Sarah about which one she liked best, and then that can help inform things. Sometimes it's just we say we want something, but we have to go ahead and start writing about it and doing that. And then it becomes a question of like, well, can we get some changes to the art made to match what we've written, or do we change that? So it's kind of, there's not really one answer, unfortunately. It kind of depends on where it hits, and the schedules of different books depend on where that, when that art comes in and how early we have access to it.
Yeah, we try to get art in early so it can help drive the creative process, but schedules don't really go.
Yeah. Kind of like for Sheeran with their little arms. I mean, they would call them mating arms, because once that came out, it's like, oh, what do they do with these little arms? Because they've got like two legs and two arms, you know, so what are they? Oh, they must be mating arms, you know, and then there's even stuff from the final, the iconic Sheeran Keskadi. He's got this little jar on his waist, you know, with the little thing. Like, well, apparently they carry around their larva with them, you know, on adventures with them. That's their little baby canister. And that was totally something that is now canonical with Sheeran, but that came out of the art for it that was not planned for originally.
Yeah.
Having a host for Sheeran was so interesting.
Yeah.
I just took it up a notch.
Yeah.
Plus people reinventing them every year.
That has the have you seen a lot of like fan art of some of the stuff that you've made and go, that's so cool, I'm inspired.
Anytime someone does like fan art, I'm like freaking out about it, and like I think I've like occasionally seen people cosplay stuff and I'm like, that's amazing, like I'm so excited, like anytime, like, or if people like do their own iteration or like come up with more ideas, like I think like the fact that anyone's viewing it and enjoying it is like the best thing in the world, because for me, like, it's, yeah, like if anyone gets enjoyment out of the work that I do, then that's like the core, like that's like 99.9% of the reason I make art is like for other people to enjoy, so yeah.
Especially for a cosplay,
they
put so much work into that.
I know.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that, like, feeds my desire, too, to make sure that, like, I'm true to, like, the process as well. Like, I don't want to, like, you know, kind of half do something and then people be like, what is this? Like, this is what you, like, they're like, oh, it's like, it's not fun, it's not interesting. So, like, yeah. Other people's enjoyment makes me want to work harder. So, yeah.
I'm super not an artist at all, and I'm so jealous, like, watching you, like, take this, like, you're just drawing a blob, it's like, oh, that's going to take it forever, and then I look up, and there's this giant, droopy spider thing, and I'm like,
that's been 30 minutes!
It's like, I always tell people, it's, I used to teach painting, and it's like, you build a process, and every artist's process, they might have the same tools, but it's like a completely different thing, and it's like, it's very much like a, like, repetitive trained thing. Like, I don't think, you know, I do think about, like, I gotta flex my art muscles and go, like, work out the art for a little bit, so I'm like constantly painting and constantly drawing and like clutching my sketchbook, like, you know, it's my life, because it is, like, yeah, it's like a lot of practice, so yeah, thank you, yeah.
Yeah, I did notice that in the other room when you were drawing the stuff, you would switch, like doing this one color here, and then you go back to working over here, like, oh, but you didn't put this in. And then you go back to that later, I'm like, what is even happening?
That's another train process that, like, so, like, spreading out, and, like, sometimes concepts are too, like this too. I'll start drawing a piece and then I'll switch. Because often it's like being able to sit far away and like look at everything and then realize where stuff is like lagging behind or starting to look different. So yeah.
Are you guys still continuing to do concepting processes for like future books in Starfinder?
We generally don't have the time for that once we're on the production schedule, and now there's a lot of resources, art and otherwise, going to Pathfinder 2nd Edition. So, because I think you have been doing like concept art for that stuff for a while. So, yeah, so not so much for that. Because now with the core rulebook and the monster books out, now we have reference pieces too, so we can send those to artists, and it's not as important, I think, for you to speak better.
I mean, I think I still want to do concept art. Like, if you guys ever come up with a new race or something like that, then we'll start that process again.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the process of going back and forth.
Yeah.
And getting the right idea of like, all the different ideas that came to this one final drawing. Mm-hmm.
But you have a lot more time for that when you're working on like one big book than when you're doing like, oh, this is the monthly adventure path we've got 3 months to get this book out and then the next one comes out. So it's harder to fit that process in. But I think a lot of us at Paizo would like to have, on the creative staff, would like to have more opportunities for concepts and stuff to
just be left alone with a beanbag chair and some food on the table, or maybe some nice music.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Like, just be you guys, come on.
But yeah, for example, for Second Edition Pathfinder, I've been working on a concept of Bane for the past 2 years. So it's been a long process, but it's fun. Any other
things? It's kind of a generic one, but what were your favorite Starfinder pieces, either just general Starfinder and then Starfinder you worked on?
Gosh, there's like so many. Because I also did like all of the like deity symbols as well, and that was like a lot of fun too. Because it was like, what in the future do some of these symbols look like, and then some of them are completely brand new. I think I liked. Man, this is really tough. my favorite piece are probably the sketches, but that's because like, as an artist, like I'm more of a drawer than I am like a painter. Like I definitely, if I get to pick a favorite thing to do, it's just to like use pencil. But I think my favorite overall piece is, I actually think I like the final Yosoki like iconics a lot. Like those are probably like seeing those like fleshed out in the illustrations are probably like my favorite pieces in general. So every time like a Starfinder thing comes out, I'm like, oh, where are the ramp people? Yeah, that might be. He's like, these are the best part. So yeah.
I was curious if when you actually are like, working on like a project, do you listen to music or anything like that, or just
a lot of music? Yeah, some artists are weird. They like can't do any music or anything. I do pick music that fits the mood, and then there's definitely like I have to power through something and paint, and that's like death metal or like really trashy like Eurotrance, like because I can tune everything out. I'll actually listen to documentaries about stuff related to the topic. Like I think I did watch like a couple like Apollo documentaries like while I was working because I want to like listen to like the thought process of like what goes into making a spaceship and like what were some of the considerations and like, because it's a lot of research, like a lot of like reading and thinking about like, again, like how do I step into the like that character's shoes, so yeah, or not shoes, depending.
So during your creative process, how much of it is like pencil and paper and how much of it is like using like the digital sketching? Mm-hmm.
All of these guys were actually concepted on paper first. And I go and I buy like a big box of printer paper. It's like the cheapest I can find. And I'll do like one sketch on a page, and if I don't like it, I just like slide it off the top and like keep going. And because that's like, I think it helps me feel like I don't have to be precious about the idea process. I can like get everything out and then like move on. And then later on, like lay everything out and like remove kind of like the bad parts, the parts that are awful. And then the parts that I don't want Sarah to see. And then I like hand over the ones that like look nice. Yeah, so it's like, I would say like pencil paper usually first, and then like I move, like I scan it and then go into digital. So yeah.
Do you have a favorite picture in the core rulebook that was yours?
Oh my gosh, I don't think I can remember all of the core rulebook. So I think, well, the core rulebook was mostly illustrated because I did the concept stuff, and most of the illustrations were done by other artists. So I think the stuff in the core rulebook was mostly the god symbols and stuff. I would think like Saren Ray is like my favorite one because I guess that would fit the bill for that, because that was like a cool, like.
I'm just trying to lead you to want to sign something on my core rulebook right now.
Oh yeah, oh, there you go. Yeah, so I would say like probably like I did all those gods and those like symbols, and those were like a ton of fun to do. Yeah, it's like hard to pick. Yeah.
That's the light one.
Yeah, the angel one. Yeah, like I was like wings. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We got a question from Chad.
Chad, okay.
Is there a piece or original draft that needed to be remolded completely that sticks out, like a radical change in the color, or the pose, or the type of creature it was?
I think so, because the concept process is like there is like kind of a standard for creating concept art where they're put in a pose or in a way that shows as much of them as possible. But because it's also like the idea process and not necessarily the finished illustration, then that part's not as important. But I think even in the sketch phase, the vest actually changed considerably in kind of like proportioning like through that process, because they got like bigger and bulkier, and then like less melee and more into like also using, or less fist melee, and then like more into like weapon, like heavy weaponry and stuff. And so they kind of went from having a like flappy like iguana claws to like more dexterous hands and stuff, and they kind of like changed a little bit over time. But I don't think anything was ever like overhauled. There was nothing where like you like
start over.
Yeah, Taylor, I've changed my mind on everything. We're starting over completely. So nice and quiet.
I know. Yeah. Or like maybe coming up with like ideas for these races that we have, or and development stuff.
Hmm.
Or what do you give Sarah that she then gives to other people?
Well, the concepting stuff is a lot different from just the normal like art ordering process, because. Like, which is what we do most of the time. So, you know, it's like we've got usually we've got most of the text in. And so we look through the text for things that we want to illustrate. And so that can either be a character or a scene. So we've generally, with new developers, Sarah has to constantly tell them it's like less is more when we're giving descriptions, because since we spend a lot of time with words, we can get very wordy with our art descriptions as well. And that's not good. So, you know, well, usually it's trying to think about what is the most important parts that you want to illustrate, to highlight to the artist, and then leaving the rest, you know, for them. So it's like, okay, well, this needs to be the specific characters, but it needs to be this race and this class, and maybe they need to be fighting this monster in this location. And that's usually as much as we go into, unless it's really important that, like, oh, they're holding this very specific magic sword or whatever. It's that, depending on, like, if we get into more detail, we might find references of other things, because it needs to be, particularly with Starfinder, we have all sorts of weird aliens. You know, there's some stuff coming up with some slug people. And so I think she got references of, like, these various slugs, so that they would get some of these weird colors, you know, and that kind of stuff. So it really kind of varies on the piece, but we try not to do, like, actually... describe the scene too much. You know, like, this person is doing this, besides, like, maybe, oh, the Technomancer's casting a spell, because we want the artist is better at actually, you know, deciding what goes where to make a good piece than we do. We just know, want, show them fighting. So.
Because I've gotten art descriptions that are like maybe almost a page long, and I was like, no, you gotta find the focal point, you gotta find two characters, because you know, our, the illustrations that we do are usually, you know, 9.5 by 6, so they're really tiny. So you can't fit like everything that you want in this illustration in that little area, because it's just gonna look muddy. You're not gonna be able to find anything in that illustration. So I usually tell people two characters and one creature that they're fighting, so you can have a, like a standard focal point to leave the eye draws to that.
And I do a lot of editing.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's also like a good thing. Like that's also like the nice thing of working with Paizo is like the it's really hard to parse a painting out when it has like 9 million descriptors, because often too, like, I usually see that as like the person writing about it is like really excited about everything and they're like having trouble deciding what they want to highlight, but like I can't show the front of 9 characters all in the same, they went the front and the back at the same time, like with this like battle, and I'm like, I don't know how this, so it's like, yeah, it's nice to have simple, like, yeah.
And then, the, you know, if the artist wants more description, I can always give her more description.
Yeah.
But to start, I'm pretty sure when they open the description, they'll be like, oh, God, what?
Mm-hmm.
You want to read this whole thing?
Yeah, I don't, yeah. Like, sometimes I'm, like, very surprised that I can read it all. I'm like, oh, I thought I didn't have to do this anymore. Like, I just want to make art.
Yeah, yeah, so for the concept, it was just a lot of images and just mm-hmm. keywords. Those are really big descriptions.
Yeah.
Like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think I'm ever like nervous to be like, I don't know what to do. I'm confused or like what? Just one word, what? So
you send it back where you just marked out some words on it.
That's
your description now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I usually tell the developers like, I don't want stage direction. Please don't give me that. Don't give me like, you know, composition ideas, because you know, again, the artist is gonna be a lot better visualing what you want. And also, whatever you have in your head, you're never going to get. So just trust the artist that they can
mm-hmm.
give you a good illustration on that.
Yeah.
And sometimes, particularly with like scenes, we'll get, they're almost like concepts in that early sketch phase where they'll just do the composition with like the characters. You can't really see much detail, but then they're like, oh yeah, I didn't even think about like those coming out of the bottom corner and that. And then that kind of gives us, helps us see that, yeah, there are different ways to do it. And we could say, yeah, let's go with that way and then, before they do the final.
Me and my partner have been commissioning art for the Starfinder races
mm-hmm.
website, Glass Top Games. but it, to your point of like whatever is in your head is not what you're about to get, has been like super, super true. And like I write out these like iconic characters we want for our settings and like put a bunch of backstory and fill out their stats and hand it to an artist and it comes back and I'm like, oh, so you didn't read it. Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair enough. Maybe I'll just talk to you now and be like, it's really helping me. I'm going to be like black with copper, like it said in the like line 14
mm-hmm.
description.
I work really well on like bullet points. Like
yeah.
if it's, if I can like parse like basic descriptors, I'm like, okay, like great, like yeah. So
no, it did, it, we figured it out for
mm-hmm.
sure, and then I get surprises at the end. It's like my list shoots it turned blue with pink lines in its head, and I'm like,
nobody said it. How did this happen? Yeah. I think that's like the importance of like the sketch process too, because like if I spend like 1 million years painting something and then I send it and you're like, oh, no.
No.
How about we don't do this thing that you did to me? Then like that would be really terrible. So yeah, like I think like also like yeah, with like commissioning artists, like asking for that sketch phase is like really important. Like even if it's like a napkin doodle, it's like better to like have some kind of yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you get, I get very detailed sketches sometimes, and I get very, very, very loose sketches of like Sure, I can turn out to whatever
we need to sketch it. Yeah, kind of looks like a thing.
On the development side, we prefer the more detailed sketches. Because it's always the war for them. I mean, that's one thing for me, for like Starfinder, I found it easier, I think, to do art briefs now because I have a history background. So when I was working on Pathfinder, it's like, oh, it needs to have this like historically accurate armor, or at least send it as a reference so it'll be close to that. And now it's like, yeah, it's the future, it's whatever. It's going to be some variation of a spacesuit. Go. I don't care. So it's kind of liberating for me when I'm writing up art briefs.
I want it to be lasery.
Right. Lasery. That's I got to start using that description. Make it more lasery.
Probably about 5 minutes. Questions or thoughts?
I have a question.
Sure.
As an artist, because I know there's always people who make fan art, like, they care about and passionate about. Do, as an artist, professional artist, do you do fan art for certain things?
Yes. Make a lot of fan art. fan art's interesting. Because it's like legally in a really weird location. Because a lot of people like it can be frustrating because like a lot of the time if your art like yeah you did the artwork but technically you don't own that intellectual property. So but I do a lot of fan art. I watch a lot of Star Trek, so I do like Star Trek fan art, and I do a lot of Pokemon fan art because I love Pokemon. Basically every game I play, I do some kind of fan art thing. I do like play a lot of Elite Dangerous, so like that was like a huge inspiration for Starfinder stuff too. Like, it's like I have like a whole fan comic about my character in Elite Dangerous and how much of a pirate she is and how cool and stuff. So yeah, like, yeah. So I do a lot of fan art. Like, yeah.
Sarah, what's your preferred medium? Well, I'm more of a graphic designer than artist. So, I haven't really painted forever. Mm-hmm. But I usually, when I did paint, I did more traditional. I wasn't into the digital art. So, but I did a lot of stuff in acrylics and watercolor, which I'm trying to get back into, but.
Yeah.
Work always calls.
You can paint miniatures. That's kind of an in between, right?
Yeah, I tried painting miniatures, but I don't really have the patience for that.
All right.
Yeah,
well, I guess that's it. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for another PaizoCon 2018 seminar recording. Special thanks to the KDCon team, including Justin Sluder, Ryan Hiller, Stephen Glicker, and the entire Roll for Combat crew. No Direction's PaizoCon coverage would not be possible without their tireless effort. To find this and other great Pathfinder podcasts, visit nodirectionpodcast.com.